The message you're about to hear is entitled, What Does God See? By Brian Weller. Brian works with Message Ministries and Missions in St. Petersburg, Florida. For more information on Message Ministries or more messages from Brian Weller, please visit our website at messageministries.net.
And like you, I'm just a simple servant of the Lord. You know, when I gave my heart to Jesus, it was 1975. I was coming off a few years of drug addiction and alcohol addiction and was involved in witchcraft and all kinds of things. And when I prayed that simple prayer to ask Jesus Christ in my life, it was like the lights came on. And everything just seemed so different. And I didn't know at that time that it was just the beginning of an extraordinary journey that continues. There's a prayer that Paul prays that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And there's another statement that Paul makes. He says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And I'm finding that more and more, that there's just so much more of God, that we've just basically just touched the hem of his garment. God is so wide and so deep, and he's so high. There's another verse that says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts wiser than ours, and his ways are higher than ours. And I'm learning in my life to not try to figure everything out and to just enjoy the journey and to trust that the Holy Spirit will reveal to me, and he'll reveal to us, his people, that he loves so much, the things that we need to know at the time that we need to know them. And sometimes we just have to take a deep breath. And it says in Hebrews that there is a rest that remains for the people of God, and to be careful that we don't fail, and I'm paraphrasing it, to enter into that beautiful rest that God has given us. And as I stand before you this morning, one thing I know that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. I know that I have a home in heaven. I have no doubt about it. And I know that my life here on this earth, my days are numbered. I don't know when they're going to end, but I know that every day that God gives me another day, it's another opportunity to give this life back to him, to surrender it to him, to make the proclamation that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's just... It's a beautiful thing that God has given us when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And we're just so honored and privileged to be able to be a part of that eternal family. I mean, heaven is going to be there for centillions of years. Centillions of years, we're going to be able to enjoy the blessings of heaven, where there's no sorrow, where there's no pain, where there's no sickness, where there's no dying, where all the former things, the struggles of life, are going to be gone. And all God wants from me is that I would give him this life that he gave me in the first place, that he made out of the dust of the earth, this life that he fearfully and wonderfully made and designed for his purpose and his glory. And you know, God wants to display his glory through us to the world around us. And I may have, I don't know, I'll be 55 this month. I'll finally get that little early seniors discount card, you know, where I can go into certain restaurants, I won't name them, and I can flash my little 55 card and get a discount, you know. And I'm hoping when I go in and ask for the seniors discount, they card me, you know, and they go, no way, you're 55. But the thing of it is, even if some of us here get 100 years, it's nothing compared to the centillions of years we will have in the presence of the Lord. And God gives us this beautiful opportunity to experience divine appointments that God has basically sets up for us every single day, so that he can display his love and his grace and his mercy in us and then through us to the world. The Lord put a question on my heart, and it was a question he was asking me. And I believe he wants me to ask you this morning. And the question was, what does God see? And it seems like that's a broad question, but what does God see? And we know that God is on his throne. Jesus, God the Son, is on the right hand of the Father. And we know the Holy Spirit is the messenger that brings, you know, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God to us. But what does God see? And I think we have to go back a little bit in history to really clarify and answer this question. And probably to one of the most popular scripture verses in the world, and it's in John chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses here. And these are, I love the red letters, because the red letters are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus puts in perspective with these words why he came and what he came to accomplish through his coming. And we know that Jesus was sent by the Father, because Jesus later says in John 14, he says, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the Father is our destination. And we want to be in heaven because the Father's there, because the Son is there. Otherwise, heaven would be no more beautiful than the earth. It would have the absence of God's incredible love and God's incredible light. But here in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And the word there in the Greek is the word didymi, which means he not only gave, but he committed. He offered his one and only. And if you read it in the original language, the words one and only are actually there two times in the original Greek. So basically what Jesus was saying, he was saying, for God so loved the world that he gave, he committed, he offered his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it's interesting because, unfortunately, in our country, a lot of times when we hear the word believe, we think of mental assent. We think, okay, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But actually, this word believe is the word pisteuo, which actually means commits to trust in. In other words, whoever commits to trust in him will have everlasting life. And it really clarifies that word, because Jesus wants to communicate the reality of this promise, that it's not just by mental assent. It's by me saying, you know, Lord, I want to commit to trust in you with my whole life, that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. And we know that if people believe that Jesus is, you know, a Son of God, or he is a great prophet, that there really is no eternal life. It's committing to trust in him. And he says after that, he says, if we do that, we won't perish. We won't be destroyed. We won't lose. But we'll have that everlasting life. And then he clarifies, and I love this because, you know, the gospel is good news. And it's only bad news if it doesn't get there on time. But the gospel is good news. And then Jesus clarifies his purpose. God did not send his Son. He did not send forth his Son, or send out his Son into the world to condemn the world, to damn the world, to sentence the world, to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him, whoever commits to trust in him, is not condemned or damned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned or judged already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds, their doings were evil. They were bad. They were wicked. They were lewd. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light in fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. And so what does God see? When he looks down in the world, he still has that heart of love. And I don't know about you, but I don't deserve to be in the family of God. I don't deserve salvation. I probably receive more grace and mercy than anyone should ever have in a lifetime. But that's God's love. And when God sees the world, he sees the world through eyes of love. He didn't send Jesus, go down there and tell those people they're a wicked, wretched bunch and I don't want anything to do with them. It was just the opposite. He said, tell them how much he loved them. God the Father and God the Son made an agreement that God the Son would come in human flesh and he would offer himself as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that would never have to be made again. And he was lashed 39 times. I remember years ago I heard a doctor speak, and he was saying at that time, this was 1976, he said that you could put every disease in one of 39 categories. He came because he loved us. And that's what God sees. And God wants me to see the world through those same eyes. And sometimes we see other people through our distorted view of life because maybe things have been done to us that shouldn't have been done to us or said about us. And maybe we've withheld forgiveness from people because, well, they deserve it. They never should have said that. They never should have done that. And we withhold forgiveness because we're not seeing the world the way God does. He always offers forgiveness. He always offers grace. And He always offers mercy. God sees the brokenheartedness of people. And when Jesus stood up in the synagogue and He basically spoke the prophetic words of Isaiah in chapter 61 of Isaiah, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free." And when God sees the captives, He wants to see them released. When He sees the broken heart, He wants to heal the brokenhearted. And if I can begin to see the way God does, when I see someone with a broken heart, I don't stand back and go, "Well, if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have the broken heart." I'm going to see them through the eyes of mercy. And I'm going to see that the mercy that God gave me, I certainly didn't deserve. And no one else in life does either. But I want to see it communicated. I want to see it given. What does God see? Number two, God sees His people as the objects of His affection. His people. God wants to bless us, not so we can hoard things, but God wants to bless us because He wants people to be able to see accurately what His love will accomplish in a life. I think it was Paul that said, you know, we're jars of clay. We're jars of clay, but God puts His love in these jars of clay and He makes us alive in Him. And he's the potter and we're the clay, and He puts us on the potter's wheel, and sometimes He's got to squish us a little bit so that He can form us into that beautiful vessel to display His love to the world. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Peter. And this is a beautiful promise that God has made to us. There's so many. You know, I heard someone say, and I haven't checked it out, but that there are over 7,000 promises in God's Word. And these promises are for His people. They're for us as we walk as pilgrims in this world, to be able to come to God with every need that we have in our life. And God will answer. He'll meet those needs. He promises. In Philippians, He says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." All of your needs. God sees His people as the objects of His affection. 2 Peter chapter 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace. The word grace is the Greek word charis, charis. And it means grace, but it also means it's a fullness of joy. It's an abundance of peace that God wants to give us. And Paul is saying, Peter's saying, He wants us to have this in abundance. And how does it come? Through the knowledge of God. And you see, the only way I'm really going to be able to see God a little bit more in His fullness, some of it's through our experience and it's through our prayer time, but a lot of it is displayed right here in His Word, through the things that God has spoken to us. And I think that's why the enemy, the devil, has tried so hard to make this to be a fable in many Christians' lives. And they've done surveys recently where people that confess to be Christians say that they don't believe that this is the absolute truth anymore. They don't believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. There are some people that confess to be Christians that don't believe that there is a literal hell, or that there is a real devil, or that Jesus was born of a virgin birth. It's a warped system of believing. It's not committing to trust in Jesus. It's another Jesus that Paul talks about. And he says, I believe it's in Galatians, he says, "If anyone comes preaching another gospel than what I preach, let him be accursed." It's another gospel. And this gospel is the gospel that will set us free. And Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. And there's an ability in his freedoms to enjoy life. And you see, what God sees, God is omnipotent, omnipresent. He sees the beginning and he sees the end. But God wants me to take each day. And he tells me, don't worry about the future. I'm going to take care of the future. Just take this one day I've given you and enjoy this day to the fullest. Don't worry about the needs of tomorrow. I'm going to take care of it for you. And he does. We could all tell hundreds of stories how God came through at the last minute. And he wants to use us to meet the needs of the people in the world around us. And he goes on to say, his divine power in verse 3 has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. It comes through our knowledge of him. He's given us, past tense, he has given us already everything that we need. It's been accomplished on the cross. When Jesus died, right before he died, he said, it is finished. It is completed. It is done. Nothing else has to be done. And then he said, but go and wait, and I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. You'll be endued with power, and then you'll be my witnesses. Comes from the Greek word martus. We get our English word martyr from. You'll be my martyrs, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. And I don't necessarily mean that, believe that that means that I'm going to literally die, but it means that I'm going to have the power to die to myself, to my own desires, so that I can live for his desires and his purposes. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We can participate in the divine nature. And what explains the divine nature? The fruits of the Holy Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness, the faith. That displays the heart of God. And God wants me to have that gentleness, that meekness, that kindness, that faith, that self-control, that patience, so that others can see what God is really like. And when I go out into the world and I see the world through these harsh eyes, that I'm a persecuted one, I begin to speak to people harshly. I begin to not look at people through the eyes of God's love. And so people, sometimes they have this warped view of God. There's another verse, and it's an amazing passage. 2 Corinthians 1, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. That word could be translated, the God of all consolation or exhortation, who comforts us in all of our troubles, in all of our afflictions, in all of our tribulations, in all of our persecutions, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And you see, if I stay an arm's length away from God, and I'm not receiving his comfort, in the times of trouble I experience in my life, and that word that I translated there, troubles, could be translated tribulation, persecution, or afflictions. If I'm not living my life where I'm accepting God's comfort and God's strength in those situations, I'm going to be beaten down just like people that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm going to be walking through life with my head hung down, with no joy and no peace. And God's... He said, I want to give you peace that passes understanding. I want to give you joy that is beyond measure and love that is full. That's what God sees for us. That's God's destiny for us. That we would be more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. That we would triumph always because we see God, not through warped eyes, but we see God through the eyes that he sees us. With these eyes of love. That it is finished, that God is victorious, that he wins in the end. We can go to Revelation and read that he wins. He's already won. And I know we're about out of time, so let me go to the third point. The first one was God sees a lost world with a heart of love. The second point is God sees his people as the objects of his affection. Begin to receive his affection. He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. Whenever there's a need, to bring it to the Lord in prayer. When we see one another in need, let's pray for one another. Sometimes we have to help each other to carry that burden to the cross because we don't know how to let go of it. And so we help one another to do that. The last point, God sees his people as the messengers of his grace, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians, I think we're already there, chapter 5. And this whole chapter is amazing. It's about us having the ministry of reconciliation. And I always say the ministry of reconciliation is the divine ability to be able to introduce people to God the Father through the message and love of God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has given that to every one of us that call ourselves believers. He's put it in our laps. He's given us that calling. And I love the song that the worship team sang this morning. Here am I, Lord. I will go. Because you see, if we look at our lives this morning, regardless of what's going on inside of us, and I'm sure as God looks inside our hearts, he knows every disappointment. He knows the hurts that have happened in our lives. But I can tell you, and some of you have seen it too, when you go out into the third world and you see children getting food out of a garbage dump, and you see someone that has no chance for any medical care, and they're just withering away, laying in a straw mat in a hut, that our needs are small compared to those people. And this is what he says to us, verse 16. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us, he committed to us, he granted to us, he bestowed upon us, he delivered to us," the word is didomi in the Greek, "the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, not counting men's faults or offenses against them. And he has committed to us, he's committed to us the message of reconciliation." And you see, I'm never going to be fruitful in the ministry, bringing the ministry of reconciliation, if I don't know the message of reconciliation. If the word of God is not hidden in my heart. And that's why Paul said at one point, he says, "Be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you." I have to know his word. His word will accomplish what God sends it out to do. Through these simple human minds, these simple human voices, God will communicate a message into somebody's life, and it will bring life to them. That promise will make an impact on their life. And he says this, and I love this, "We are therefore Christ ambassadors." And the word, interesting, is presbyuo. Presbyuo, you get your word presbytery from, which is another word. We are Christ ambassadors. We are his divine representatives of a heavenly kingdom. And we are not of this world. We are just passing through, and God sees us that way. Sometimes I feel like God's going, Brian, wake up. You are not of this world. You are just a stranger. You are a pilgrim. You are a temporary inhabitant of this planet called Earth. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be." Our treasure's in heaven. We live for the things of the heavenly kingdom. I'm going to read a couple things to you, statistics. Because you see, when God looks down from heaven, he sees the whole world, brothers and sisters. He sees the whole world. He sees every child that dies. He sees the 50,000 people that die every day in the 1040 window of the world, that unreached portion, most unreached portion of the world. 50,000 people die every day that have never even heard about Jesus Christ one time. These are some of the other things God sees. That there are over 2 billion people worldwide who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. One third of the world have never heard the name of Jesus Christ or understand who he is and what he can do. 2/3 of people alive today don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This includes 1.35 billion Muslims, 888 million Hindus, 388 million Chinese folk religionists, and I can go on and on. And God sees the over 1 billion people who live in absolute poverty. This includes 700 million people living in slums, 500 million people living on the very verge of starvation, 93 million beggars, 200 million children that are exploited for labor, 70 million abandoned children and orphans, and 55 million people living in caves. He also sees the 100 million that are supported by collecting garbage and 1.5 billion people who have no access to medical care. Before we pray, I believe we need to ask ourselves a question. What are we doing about this? Are we going to be content as believers in Jesus Christ? And I know there's probably many people here and you're giving your all for the Lord, but how can we ever be content to sit idly by, consumed by our own needs, by our own inadequacies, our own inabilities, or weeping over the things that have happened in our life that God wants to heal me from? And how can I not look out on the world the way Jesus does? And not only see the needs, but do something about it. Because one day, brothers and sisters, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to be known as we've been known all this time. We're going to literally see the world the way God sees it now. And I know at that moment I'm gonna have an awakening experience, and I'm gonna go, Lord, how could I have wasted so much time? How could I have wasted so much of my resources? How could I have been so self-centered? How could I have been so selfish? But it's gonna be too late to change anything. And yes, I'm gonna be saved by God's grace because it is a free gift. Let's pray as we close. Father God, we know that you see it all. Father, you see the whole world. You hear every prayer. The billions of prayers that come to your throne every day, Lord, even from people that they don't even know who God is yet. And God, as those prayers come to your throne and you're saying, whom will I send? Who will go for me? Who will go out and be used by me to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free? Who will be used by me to feed the poor? Who will be used by me to bring this message of salvation to those that haven't heard it? Father God, we want to go for you. In our hearts, Lord, we want to say to you, here I am, Lord. We don't want to just sing it anymore. We want to do it, Lord. And Father, we know that when we make a commitment to you and we say, here I am, Lord, send me, we don't really know all that means. We don't know where we're going to end up or what you're going to require of us, Lord. But we know that where you lead us, you will empower us and you will provide for us. God, I pray this morning that you would forgive me for my selfishness. That you would forgive me, Lord, for my faithlessness. And help me to see you as you are. And help us to see this world as you see it. Help us to see us as you see us. And God, we thank you that your grace and your mercy and all that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, is all that we need. For life and for godliness. We thank you. Send us out, Lord. In Jesus' name.
What Does God See? By Brian Weller. Brian works with Message Ministries and Missions in St. Petersburg, Florida. For more information on Message Ministries or more messages from Brian Weller, please visit our website at messageministries.net.
Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to close your eyes? Do you want to put your head under the sand instead of running for the prize? The time is now to take the call of God, and won't you run with it and do what he says do? Some people seem to think if they don't look, the problem just might go away. Jesus said the poor you'll always have with you till resurrection day. What you do to the least of these, you do to me. That's what Jesus said. Are you treating Jesus right? Go. My friend, God's winding down this world's clock of time. Soon I'll stand before the Lord to give account for this life of mine. This world will end and God will reign. Will you have lived your life in vain? Do you live your life in vain? Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to close your eyes? Do you want to put your head under the sand instead of running for the prize? The time is now to take the call of God, and I want you to run with it.